Yesterday on our show, we aired a bit from a 26-year-old Ozarks at Large story produced when the late George H.W. Bush came to Bentonville to present Sam Walton the Presidential Medal of Honor. An astute listener pointed out that the 41st president also presented Fayetteville resident Eve A. Jones with the American Institute of Architects Gold Medal at the White House in 1990. Tributes to and analysis of George H.W. Bush's life and career continue in advance of the former president's funeral. As part of their weekly conversation, Roby Brock, with our partner Talk Business and Politics, and John Brummett, political writer of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, discussed the first President Bush. John Brummett says he thinks President George H.W. Bush leaves a legacy that requires some nuance to consider.
I believe as a human being, as evident in everything you read and see about him, when you watch him interviewed and watch his behavior in life, as a human being, I'm hard-pressed to think of anybody I've ever witnessed in American politics who's more genuine, authentic, modest, decent, impeccable in his manner. He was and he was personally one of our great representatives of what has been called the greatest generation. I mean, he was shot down in World War II, volunteered at age 18 when he was a privileged Connecticut blue blood, survived, helped others on the plane survive, and then behaves with this. And, you know, I hate to be so simplistic and stereotypical as to talk about generations, but this understated personal decency by which people of that generation, many of them, seem to live. They don't talk so much about themselves or their exploits or their accomplishments. They have a modesty. They sort of shrug when you try to praise them. He was essentially that way. And it is. It's the obvious contrast with Trump.
Right.
He
fares complete, well by comparison he, to well, yes, where politics yes. is today.
But George H.W. Bush's political career, in many ways, this is a point I make in a forthcoming column, charts what I call the decline of the Republican Party. The Republican Party he was brought up in Connecticut was socially progressive, politically moderate, sort of the Rockefeller or New England type of Republicanism. And I think that's what he really was all his life. But along the way, he moves to Texas. He finds it necessary, if he's going to be elected, to oppose the Civil Rights Act. And he calls Ronald Reagan's economics voodoo economics until Reagan makes him his running mate, and he compromises on that. He stood silently by and benefited from the Willie Horton ad. He said he let the... And the read my lips, no new taxes. Mm-hmm. And then he'd raise taxes. He is doing what he feels necessary to do to maintain what Clinton would call Clinton political viability as this right-wing thing, which has now taken over the party, was incrementally swelling up around him in his party. So you can watch him navigate his career and see what is happening. But then inevitably, when he got in office and when he was president, moderate, wouldn't be prudent. That's probably what you remember him for, always prudent. So it's a fascinating study of a generational style that we may be losing and a political decline in what I'd call civility, and a move to extreme conservatism among the Republican Party, and you can just see you can see it happening in his own evolution.
Let's talk about the state legislative sessions coming up. We heard from a few leaders last week on a couple of different items. The governor's big agenda items will be government reorganization, his tax cut program, and we should get something in the form of highways out of there.
Right.
What is the one issue that we're not talking about yet that you think is going to be big on the legislative session agenda?
I have no idea.
You don't have any idea?
I haven't even thought. I try not to think about the legislature any more than I have to.
You're still in that mentality of them meeting, instead of meeting once every 2 years for 60 days, you'd rather them meet 60
years for 2 days.
Yeah.
Every 60 years for 2 days. I think we'd be better off. We don't need the number of laws that they make. I wish I could answer your question, but I'm always surprised. I mean, the thing is, in most of the sessions that we have, as we approach them, we ponder what might be the social or social issue or controversial issue that bogs down a couple of weeks in the session at least, and I don't know what it will be, but it'll be something with these
guys. I'm going to use an answer you've given me to tell you what the answer is going to be. It's going to be Arkansas Works, because that judicial decision is going to come down.
Well, see, that's not unexpected. That's not unexpected.
It is unexpected. You don't know how it's going to rule.
I do know how it's going to rule.
Oh, do you?
If this judge has any sense, and if he rules the way he ruled in the Kentucky case, Arkansas and the Trump administration cannot meet the legal requirement of Medicaid, which is to expand health care to those in need, by throwing people off because they're not clicking a computer. If he doesn't throw it out, I will be stunned. And the people in Washington who are the plaintiff's lawyers with that health organization, they sent me a timetable the other day that if, as they expect, the ruling will come sometime in March. You know what might be happening in March? Yeah. Getting ready to vote on the three-fourths appropriation.
That's right.
This whole thing could blow up. Not that I'm hoping for it. I wish that we had... But I think if they throw out the work requirement, Wow. That's going to be...
Because there's your curveball.
But see, I think it's a fastball. I think it's coming. I don't see a lot of rotation on this pitch. I think it's a fastball. But yeah, that will define the session.
Yeah, I agree.
And somehow, you know, I think they'll get to 75 anyway.
They always do.
They always do.
John Brumit is a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and his columns can also be found at arkansasonline.net. Roby Brock is with our partner, Talk Business and Politics. There is more from their conversation, including a final day examination of the mayor's runoff race in Little Rock at talkbusiness.net.